Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. According to a toxicology report released August 7th, my birthday, 2009, heart disease was a primary cause of death, and cocaine was noted as a contributory cause to death in response to the release of the toxicology report for Billy Mays.
So, that sucks. I didn't realize that.
If you're going to go out with a bang.
I guess.
Somebody on the text line, Anthony Richardson, could have probably used a bump of OxyClean.
Boy, I look,
solid.
You're the quarterback of a football team, man. You can't check out.
Well, the thing, and I said I wanted to get right back into this. Yeah. If you missed it, Bob said they should cut his ass.
I would.
The thing that I didn't understand, and this is, look, it's hard to wrap my head around this because I think he was, in his mindset, was trying to be the best for his team, to give the team the best opportunity. Now, there was a report before that game that they were thinking about benching him and starting Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
which
right.
is odd in itself. But, like, I understand that, like, he's – because he tapped his cap when he was ready to come out because I was watching that on Red Zone. And I was like, okay, so did he get hurt? And, like, we're all sitting there confused, like, oh, he's just going out. The very next play, they just handed the ball off and ran.
Yeah.
So, like, why couldn't you get to the line of scrimmage, call a running play, and run it?
Why couldn't you just call a timeout and take a break?
I don't know
at that
if they had any
in time. Okay,
I don't know the scene. I don't know the setting of that gotcha. That moment. I wasn't that dialed in, but I do know the very next play, Flacco came in, no warm up, no nothing, and they just called a direct handoff to Jonathan Taylor.
Like your quarterback needs to be your leader, right? Like you're going down with the ship, the captain of the Titanic, and all that kind of junk that we hear.
Yeah.
Like if you're the quarterback and you're patting your helmet to tap out, what kind of message are you sending to the rest of your team? Hey, man, I just ran a little bit. I'm exhausted here. I need to tap out. Meanwhile, you got five offensive linemen that are grinding on every single play and wearing themselves down on every single play. Like, people don't understand these five guys up front and what they're putting their bodies through on every single play. I mean, I talked to Lil Joe over the years about it, and, like, every single play they use the term, it's like a car accident. You're running into a wall every single time, and it takes you a week to recover for these offensive linemen. These guys are blocking for you, and you just ran a little bit, and now you're a little gassed, and you're taking yourself out of the game. Tell Quentin Nelson that as he's pulling around and knocking the snot out of a defensive end while you're trying to scoop by him that, you know, you're too tired to go into the game. Like, it's a bad look, however you want to describe
and now
it.
Now you know why the Chiefs go to St. Joe every year.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, it's true.
They're mid-season form. By the time the season starts, Anthony Richardson a little winded. Yeah. Not ready to go.
God, that's embarrassing.
He did have a very big, interesting scramble to kind of avoid everything, to just get, like, 1 yard, but it's like, hey, man, like, this is when your team needs you the most. This, you know, you don't see guys like LeBron James, Michael Jordan guys, Kobe Bryant, like, gassed and being like, I can't make these free throws, man. You got to get somebody else in there to shoot. I mean, shoot, Kobe shot one with like a blown Achilles.
I mean, yeah, like, but that's,
he's the Mamba, though. So, like, I'm putting people in high regard.
But that's the difference, Dusty. Right, like that's the guys that are the leaders, the Hall of Famers, the greatest of all time. And if you want to be in that category or considered in that category, you can't tap out of a game. Like, there's one position in the NFL that you just can't go, okay, I need a break. And that's at the quarterback position, because nobody's backup, well, I shouldn't say that, because Flacco may be better than Anthony Richardson, but usually your backup quarterback is way worse than your starter, right? You can't tap out in those situations. You're supposed to be the leader of the team. Imagine Patrick Mahomes doing that. Imagine Josh Allen doing that.
They had
Jared Goff.
They had to drag Mahomes off the sideline when he had the ankle injury.
Right, exactly.
They're like, no, and he was like cussing up a storm. It was on the quarterback documentary that we watched a couple years ago.
Right. He could have taken himself out yesterday with that ankle or
not
whatever that thing was. He didn't come out of the game. He couldn't stand on his leg. And Anthony Richardson's like, yeah, I need a break, man. I'm good.
Chiefs improved to 7-0 as they win against the Vegas Raiders and are now continuing to be undefeated in Arrowhead West in Las Vegas. Derek Johnson in 20 minutes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
They have a 2-game lead over everybody in the NFL except the Lions, Dusty. They are 2 games better in the loss column of every other team in the NFL but the Lions.
That, yeah, I mean,
it's stupid. It's insane.
I'm not so sure as to how much this year is an anomaly in the NFL, or it's just like the Chiefs literally have it figured out, because
there's a combination of both.
Somebody had a text earlier that says that this Chiefs team looks like the Chiefs team after that Vegas team that lost or beat them last year on Christmas Day, that they're not like, I don't know. Like, I think that the way I look at it is like, we're all sitting here like waiting and waiting and waiting to see that Chiefs team of old, where it's like, all right, there it is. There's the 350 yards from Mahomes. There's the 100 yards from Kelsey. There's the deep ball a couple times. There's the 42-17 win. It's not happening.
Yeah.
They haven't lost since Christmas of last year, which is insane. We're what?
We're
seven
going into
Fridays?
November. Yeah.
We're Halloween is Thursday.
That's right.
And I think
the Chiefs will go from Christmas to past Halloween without a loss.
That's right. And the thing about it is, I think that what makes us upset is that we're pining so much to see that sort of electric offense and that blow away win, that you look at their wins on the board, 27-20, 28-18, 26-13, 17-10, 22-17, 26-25, 27-20. There's no real huge separation in those wins. But the end result is their wins.
Their wins.
And they're not losing. Like, Baltimore looked like God's gift to earth 2 weeks ago. And everybody's like, I don't know, Baltimore, you know, they get to play Kansas City. They may not get to play Kansas City again.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that they didn't take advantage of those games they need to. Like, Baltimore lost that Vegas team. Baltimore lost to Cleveland. And when you look at this game that the Chiefs just played, the Chiefs went on the road and won. The Chiefs have now played two divisional games. They've won them both on the road. Like, both games, yeah, they've won on the road in their division. They still have Denver, right? They still got to play them.
At the end of the year.
Yeah. And they've essentially got, what, two big games left?
They got Buffalo.
In 3 weeks.
Right.
And they got Houston in 5 weeks.
And I don't know where Houston is going to be at that point in time. Like, today it's a big game.
Because they get Tampa at home, Denver at home.
Right.
They beat Denver at home, the AFC West is over in week 10.
Yeah. Well,
dead serious.
I think it's over.
You think it's over now?
I think yesterday the AFC West was ended. Yeah.
I'm saying officially, like, you cannot argue.
Yeah.
Like, right now you can be like, well.
Who's doing that, though?
Mike Greenberg.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point. Yeah. The Broncos, the next 3 weeks, play at Baltimore, at Kansas City, and they host Atlanta.
And I don't want to play Baltimore next week, because it seems like they always unless they start
Baltimore has Denver next week.
That's right.
In Baltimore?
It's over, yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting cooked.
So
what if they beat Baltimore?
I mean, then Baltimore has some serious questions.
No, I mean, honestly, what if they beat Baltimore? What's our narrative on Monday?
Denver's a serious competitor.
Denver's for real, right? They beat Baltimore, they're for real. Baltimore is a very beatable team, as we've seen. They lost their first two games, and they lost again yesterday. They've lost to the Raiders and the Browns. Say that out loud.
Jeez.
All of you heels out there that think the Baltimore Ravens are this great team, and I'm talking to Mike Greenberg, they've lost to the Raiders and the Browns.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's, you know, again, I think the Browns.
Two of the worst teams in the NFL, right?
Well, the Browns were losing that game once Myles Garrett showed up as the Terminator.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That was sick.
That was insane.
That was amazing. Yeah,
right.
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, like, David Njoku's, like, rubber face last year was crazy.
That was cool.
This is nuts. Like, he showed up as the Terminator.
Right.
Scott Hansen might have called him something different. I can't play that audio.
Nope.
But, boy, did he show up looking awesome. And they won the game. Myles Garrett, man, congratulations. You win the week. Might be my favorite player in the NFL now, because obviously Terminator 2 is my favorite movie of all time.
Do you think we could trade Carson Steele for Myles Garrett straight up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should.
Since everybody thinks we should trade
that,
like, everybody's best profitable, like, defensive player.
Yeah. Because the great trades are starting to roll in as people are tagging you guys in posts on good trades.
They're not good trades.
They don't tag me because they know I would go, no.
Yeah. The other thing that's crazy, bless you.
So that was a cough, excuse me.
But let's, like, seriously, before we go to break, who, real quick, 10 seconds, who's on the top of your mind, who's the number one competitor for the Chiefs right
Bills.
Now? Mac?
Yep. For sure.
I agree.
Yep.
And we get that game in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Boy, am I excited.
I can't wait for that.
In Buffalo?
Hopefully it's
not too cold for them.
I hope it's snowing.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a fun game. So Buffalo, and so not Houston.
No, I think it's Buffalo.
No, I think with the injury yesterday takes Houston down a peg.
So
it really
does. The AFC West is over, is the AFC over in 3 weeks if they go three straight wins and beat Buffalo?
No question.
No question.
Yeah. No question.
Gosh.
No, I look. It's crazy. You got a two game lead right now. Even if you lose to Buffalo, you're still up a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're still up a game, and then Buffalo still has to win out and hope the Chiefs lose somewhere else along the way.
And Buffalo ain't winning out.
I don't think they are. No. They still have the Jets left.
We'll talk to Derek Johnson in about 15 minutes on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into it. Diving in on a Monday. Got some Got some football action. Actually, we have a sports equinox
it
tonight.
It is tonight,
You guys are aware of that, Mac?
Yep.
So you have NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey.
You know, last night I was looking for actually something to put on the second TV sports-wise. There's nothing out there yesterday except for Sunday Night Football, and tonight we get everything.
Yeah. There was NBA, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, we're not watching either. They were smart. There were six games yesterday in the NBA, and they were all like, yeah, we're not competing with the juggernaut of the NFL.
When did they play? How did
2:30, 5:00, 6:30, 7:00, and I think 7:30 were the games.
You should not compete on a Sunday.
And they weren't
at all.
They weren't. You know, like tonight, the World Series competes with the NBA or with the NFL. We were having this conversation privately.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, they punted on Monday night,
right?
Which, depending on where you're at, obviously they'll have great viewership because it's Pittsburgh, it's the Giants, there's, you know, fandoms on both, and it's one of those things where it's like, well...
But you're losing the New York market. Well, I don't know if you're losing the New York market.
There's going to be
a lot of
TVs in New York.
There are, but...
Because aren't you, if you're a Giants fan, you're a Yankees fan?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, if you're a Giant fan, you're a Yankee fan. So you're going tonight, I mean, but the Giants suck so bad, and Daniel Jones is a disgrace, and then you have the Yankees, who are now down 0-2, Aaron Judge is a disgrace.
Oh, no.
No, he is. I mean, it's terrible in the playoffs. Did you guys get that meme from like 25 people yesterday? Hello, are you there? And it's a picture of Aaron Judge. What does this mean? It means I didn't show up today. You know, one of the.
I love that.
It was like I got it from like 15 people yesterday, right? My sister and I are like trying to tell my father he's not very good in the playoffs. Well, he's great in Met. It doesn't matter.
So
you've got a Yankee team that's down 0-2 mm-hmm. in the World Series, coming home for their first World Series home game in 15 years. Mm-hmm. Or the Giants at the Steelers, and the Giants aren't very good. Like, I don't know. What gets your attention tonight? I think it's got to be the World Series, right?
So I was telling you about Aaron Judge, about the investigation.
Yeah.
Rob Reinhart, do you know who that is?
I don't know.
Okay,
I know
so
Rob Reiner.
Yeah, he likes cheeseburgers.
Is he still with us?
I think so. Rob Reinhart. Covering all things sports for the Herald since 2024, previously SI Now and Bleacher Report, Auburn alum, and all opinions are my own. Have a news tip, DM me.
Uh-huh.
He's location is New York.
Okay.
He identifies as a journalist and joined April 2024. He has 3,300 followers, follows 368, and he writes up this report, breaking news. Aaron Judge is under investigation for using PEDs per source. The MLB received an anonymous tip last week and are actively investigating the allegation. Judge is set to undergo a drug test ahead of Game 3 Monday night.
We'll see. I mean, he's the only person reporting that right now. Is there anybody that you've heard of reporting
I think
poo-poo it, but I'm just wondering.
I'm just saying popped up. It was one of those on the John reads.
Yeah.
I know that's probably TMI. But it was just
that's why you have hemorrhoids.
Yeah, it's one of those just like scrolling on the phone, and all of a sudden I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. First off, who's Rob Reinhart? Second off, where's this report? He's got a full report on it. I don't want to bore people, but it was on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was just like thinking, like, please.
When was that posted on Twitter?
20 hours ago.
So it's been almost a full day and nobody said anything about it.
I mean, there are 777 comments, 13,000 likes on it.
How many retweets are on there?
3,100.
3,100. Obviously, it's gaining a lot of traction, but I haven't heard it from anybody else. Like, you haven't heard the ESPNs or the Foxes of the world,
right? The first comment just says, well, they ain't working.
God. Of course that was the first comment on there.
Yeah,
right?
And then there's just a bunch of, like, other stuff, and I don't know. So, like... interesting that popped up in my feed. I'm just like, I don't really know about all this. I don't know who this guy is. Never heard of him. And that's interesting because the World Series.
No, I'll be interested to see if that thing picks up steam, if anybody talks about it, if it's refuted, how it's handled. But 20 hours and to not get a rebuttal. And yesterday was, I guess, a workout day. I don't know if they met with the media.
They said he's going to get tested before Game 3 tonight.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, could have been tested yesterday at the workout day if they met. I need more than that guy, right? Like, where has the follow-up been, right?
And, I mean, all your comments are just going to be flooded with either Dodgers fans or Yankees fans.
Yeah.
But would be... very crushing blow.
Crushing blow to Major League Baseball.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, that's their MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
If he tests positive, does that mean we give it to Bobby Witt Jr.?
I wonder if they voted already.
I think they have. I think they end the voting as the playoffs start.
Okay.
Because obviously I don't think you get votes in the playoffs.
No, you don't. It doesn't count for the postseason. I mean...
Because if you did, this guy's MVP.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is good! Gibby, meet Freddy!
Those are the kind of decisions that get you fired in New York.
Oh, God,
I hadn't pitched in 6 months. Right. Like, yeah, I go out there and walk Mookie Betts. We should be able to be all right, and it's over.
And the season's done. You know,
unreal, man. I mean, unreal moment. First ever walk-off slam in World Series history.
It's crazy, right?
And I watched it live.
I know.
I mean, I literally go, they're going to walk Mookie Betts. I was like, okay, fair.
I would have walked Mookie Betts, too, though.
Was it a Kurt Gibson moment?
It was. Yeah. It really was. I mean, that was my home run thing. Not that I ever hit one, but, you know, like, you'd always do the Kurt Gibson.
The pump fist. On one leg.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, and I'm taking this for truth, because I want it to be true, they say that home run that Freddie Freeman hit was at 8:37 L.A. time, which was the exact same time Kurt Gibson hit his home run.
That's weird.
Like, I saw that yesterday. I'm getting, like, the chills now because no other sport does what baseball does.
They just had those
when it comes to that kind of stuff, right?
That's interesting.
They said they were both hit at 8:37 Pacific time.
Both hit to right field
in Dodger Stadium to win game one of the World Series.
God, Kurt Gibson, hell of a mustache.
Oh, my God. So I got a funny Kurt Gibson story for you. So he came to Kansas City.
Big dude, right?
Yeah, he was a pretty big guy. Yeah, yeah. He'd been sick, I think, recently. Mm-hmm. But he was a Royal at the tail end of his career. Mm-hmm. And this story's been obviously relayed to me by Don Fortune over the years. And it's like, it's really remarkable because Kurt Gibson is in the locker room with his son, mm-hmm. right? And you know, Don goes over to meet Kurt Gibson and his son's there. And he says, "Hi, I'm Don. Good to meet you," whatever the case may be. And he shakes the son's hand, right? Mm-hmm. "Hi, I'm Don. Nice to meet you." And the son shakes his hand and doesn't say anything. He says, Kurt Gibson hits the son in the back of his head with his hand and goes, "Tell the man your effing name." Only used the entire word, didn't say.
Jeez.
So that's Kurt Gibson in a nutshell right there. Like, throwing at his own kid on Father's Day.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Eric Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's a Monday. It's 7:25. We are really hitting it today, boys. It is Derek Johnson time, which is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you, and also brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, how's it feel to be 7-0, bud?
Man, it feels great. It feels great. It seems like a broken record. We're going to be doing this for a while this year. I don't see us losing too many games, man. It's just, the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, they got this rolling out right now.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've never seen a grown-ass man in my life like Chris Jones yesterday when he ripped that running back, Alexander Mattinson, down in the backfield with one hand.
Yeah. That's just what he does. Like, it's getting to a point where it's not surprising. Like, certain things should be surprising, certain things that we do, but it's not, just because we've been doing it on a consistent basis, especially the defense. I mean, Chris Jones is so disruptive. I played with him for a few years when he was a young lad, but now he's a straight killer. He's always had it in him. And being able to be Nick Bolton, being able to be Drew Tranquil, be able to be Chanel and those guys, man, I would love to play behind Chris Jones, because he's going to do whatever he can to be disruptive in the pass game and the run game. And it's not only him, it's everybody. The whole defense, they're rock stars, man. This is a defense-led team, believe it or not. And it's showing up every week.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to get more into the defense with you, because they have not given up more than 30 points since the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. Okay, like, I mean, that's how long it's been since they've given up 30 points. How difficult is it to do what this defense is doing week in and week out?
It's hard. It's hard just because offenses are very smart. They figured out a way to get easy yards, easy pitch and catches in the run game or the pass game. And regardless of the team and the record, offenses are really good. Their system works, but it just seems like Every time they go against Spags defense, oh man, Spags was, I mean, it was like poetry in motion. He kept, when he sends pressure, especially yesterday, when he was sending pressure, he was making sure that he got two on the back. That's hard to do. When you can get two on the back, that means somebody's open and the quarterback's running for his life to rush and throw the ball. And who gets the benefit is the DBs back there. They can go make plays and look good. So hats off to Spags and just being able to draw up some things that just make offense scratch their head. And when you can get two on the back, that's what you want. That's like an idea. If you can get two on the back, you can get the quarterback running and making some quick decisions that does not favor them.
You know, it's amazing to watch them just step it up every single week and make the plays when the plays need to be made, too. It's not like they're just going out there and they're playing with a big lead and they can just kind of hang out. They're coming up and making big-time plays when they need them to get the ball back, fourth down drives, whatever the case may be. Like that goal line stand that they had, the other day. Like, every single week they're doing something, DJ, on defense where you're just like, what in the hell, man?
Yeah, that's a great point. Actually. Just because that is true. It is very easy. I wouldn't say very easy. It's easier to go out to a game where you're up and you got a 14-point lead, 2-possession lead. Like you can play with house money. But that's not what's happening. We're having some close games, but we still keep our confidence because we kind of know who we are. And we're aggressive, exotic defense, and we're going to come after you. Even if when it's third down, it's money down, Spags is going to dial them up. You don't know where they're coming from, but it's happening. Just playing for it and to actually get out there and get a turn, offense turn the ball over, kind of a fluke tip ball or whatnot. But, for defensive side of the ball, what we think is, hey, it doesn't matter what the offense does. We have to play defense. Regardless of where we play at on the field, we got to play defense. And that was a great example of yesterday being in the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, 4 straight downs. I mean, that takes confidence. That takes the heart away from other teams when they can't score. And every time we stopped them first down, second down, third down, I was like, oh, we're getting more confidence. They're not going to score. I just knew they wasn't going to score. And hats off to everybody on the defense.
When you're on the defensive side, like the Raiders were, and you see that fourth quarter kind of dwindling away from Patrick Mahomes and the offense, like, obviously the job of the defense is to get off the field as soon as possible, but that's also got to disrupt the offensive side as well, knowing that their play calling is changing minute by minute as they see the clock disappear. Patrick Mahomes almost has like a great offensive scheme, but also has a good defensive scheme against the opposing offense because of how he can manipulate a drive.
Yeah, he definitely can. This is not the year that the Chiefs offense under Pat will break a bunch of records. I'm okay with that. They are so efficient when it comes to the run game. They're not killing it in the area, but they are being very efficient and playing situational football. They play the best for situational football. I mean, we've been in for a 7-0 thing. We've been a lot of close games where you would think we would be really. I wouldn't say blow teams out, but like really have leads, and we hadn't had that. I think that helps us just to know that we can play in close games. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at everything in an optimistic way, but you're exactly right. Pat Mahomes does not get enough credit. Obviously, his arm, he gets enough credit with that, but just being able to extend plays. I mean, every time something breaks down, he makes a play. Like, every time, he almost 100%. I'm like, golly, that's batting pretty good for your team. But he knows who he is, and if he knows how to manipulate the ball and make you jump, make you stop a little bit. I mean, it's funky. Like it was a play late in the game. I'm like, I always look at things from a defensive perspective. And Pat hiked the ball. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, nobody's open. So he held the ball. I got nervous a little bit. And after a while, he's down the field making a run or no look pass, or somebody's coming out of their plaster coverage, and then he's dumping it over their head. I'm like, man, this guy can't do wrong.
Do you know the run two on like 3rd and 12, and he gets 13 yards on a bum ankle? Or I mean, like it's to me. I love watching Patrick Mahomes run because I've said it before and people want to throw eggs at me, but I think he's the most efficient and best running quarterback in the NFL because every one of his runs is a dagger in the heart of the opposition.
That is true. That is true. You didn't say the fastest or the most athletic. That is exactly right. That's what happens every time. If you look at any of his scrambles, all of his scrambles, he doesn't make, you know, many mistakes. Like over the years, I think he runs a little bit more now. Cause back then it was more about, you know, run, look this way, throw across your body. And, you know, people are kind of plastering their coverage or staying with their guys. And now he has to, get past the defensive lineman. And he's doing a great job, man. Pat knows who he is, and the Chiefs are just on a roll, man. I love it. I love it.
And getting Kelsey back involved, too. I mean, finally getting into the end zone was big. I know there's a lot of naysayers out there about Travis still for what they expect him to have 100 yards and 5 touchdowns in every game. But, I mean, he was back to his old tricks yesterday, too.
Yeah, that's what Travis does. I mean, Travis is a crafty veteran, tight end that knows that he can catch anything. He can run great routes. He still can give you some yak yardage. If you don't double him, Kelsey's going to get off. He's going to get off. So they have to go back to trying to double him. And then you open up Hopkins, which it was great to see Hopkins in there. He's going to help us down the stretch, catch some balls on third down. So it's, man, we're moving up, and we're 7-0, and we're getting better.
I want to look into the future real quick, DJ. If you're okay with that, we can do like the reading of the palms here. When this team acquires Isaiah Pacheco back, what's the defensive mindset against this team when they have Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco?
You have to, as good as Pacheco is and Kareem Hunt being crafty veteran now, you have to make the Chiefs run the ball, which is kind of sucks for you. You know, you never go into a game and say, you know, I dare you to run it, but we have to establish the run even more just to put the pressure off of Mahomes. He's going to always get that max coverage, that double coverage on certain guys. He's going to always get two high safeties a lot just because he's that dynamic. That's just who he is. And we're going to have opportunities to run the ball, and we got to take advantage of it, which I will think we will. And then people are going to have to adjust through that. So you're going to, I don't think coverage will change much, but I think we will be able to run the ball even more because we'll have a two-headed monster now.
And with Hopkins, as we mentioned, we get him in for a little bit yesterday, a couple of nice plays, but now with the extra day, not till Monday Night Football next week, I think a week from tonight we see DeAndre Hopkins kind of have his breakout party in Kansas City.
Yeah, he will. Man, it's the playbooks around the league are so thick. It's so much information to learn, even though everybody kind of does the same thing, but there's so much terminology that goes into a playbook, and DeAndre Hopkins is going to get more acclimated with the system, and Andy Reid and those guys, they know how to get superstars involved, and Hopkins will be no different. I can't wait. Just the longer, I mean, every week I think he's just going to get more and more balls, and he's going to come in handy, especially on third down. That's he can catch anything.
DJ, we appreciate the time. We look to go to 8-0 with you and talk to you. I guess it'll be before the Monday Night Football game next week in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. All right, y'all take it easy.
All right, man. Derek Johnson there, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers Local number 2. So saying DeAndre Hopkins is going to have himself a...
Next week's the week. Yeah, he's going to have himself a game next week. A little too early to get and have a huge game, but still, I thought very, very effective in the game on Sunday.
I mean, we saw it this week for a glimpse.
The Raiders are excellent on third down defense. Second in the league. Their best since 2001. Here comes a blitz. Mahomes near side. Caught! DeAndre Hopkins! the diving catch goes down on his left hip and points the right hand forward for a first down at the 46 and a gain of 12 yards.
So we saw a little glimpse of it there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he was targeted, but he had 2 for 29. In that game, I was really hoping that they would target him for like a 25-yard catch.
What do we say, about 40 yards or so, 4 to 5 yards?
We were a bit off. We said anywhere from like 4 to 5 catches for anywhere from like 40 to 65 yards.
Yeah, so he ended up with, let me pull it up here.
2 for 29.
Pass receiving DeAndre Hopkins, you're right, 2 for 29, but targets was 3.
Mm. So
14 and a half yards a catch. You take that every day, right?
That's super, good. Super.
And he'll look at him more once he has more time with
him. Of course, yeah.
And I'm sure he was given like 4 or 5 routes to run.
Not a lot.
Hey, we need you on a couple third down plays. It'll come up, I guarantee you. Boom, right out of the chute. All right, did your job. There you are.
And you know, first drive, DeAndre Hopkins gets involved. That's what Andy Reid normally does. And you got him acclimated. And now, again, with the extra day this week, it's going to be a full crash course for DeAndre Hopkins. Expect DeAndre Hopkins to be big on Monday night next week.
You'll see that on our Instagram page on 96.5 The Fan. That'll be Bob's pick this week.
Take the
over on DeAndre Hopkins catches and yards.
How about the Bears?
To the left, McLaren. Oh. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
He caught it!
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish.
That's the Bears radio call. I got to think the Commanders was better.
3, Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is
Did you say take that?
Oh my God, that was wild.
We're sitting there
watching that game yesterday as it's taking place, and Jim Nance at one point at the end of the game goes, "There are no words, right? There are no words for what they say." And my wife immediately looks at me, she goes, "That blows." Like, yeah, those are the words. Yep. I mean, those are the words, especially if you're the guy for the Bears who was taunting the crowd before the play, too.
Idiot.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing out here, man?
What are we doing?
Who caught the pass was his man.
Oh, even better.
It was his man.
Yeah. Well, so instead of guarding his man, he went to where the ball is. He tipped the ball to his man.
What do they call that? Instant karma?
Tyreek Stevenson, yeah. You watch the film from the video from the crowd, and he's out there, like, you know, taunting the crowd and all this. The ball goes up in the air, and this gentleman catches it. It was unbelievable yesterday, man. That was a wild finish, obviously. But seeing all the, like Dan Campbell out on the field, like just looking for anybody to hug. Give me somebody. Give me anybody while I'm waiting. Like, it was just wild, man. What
Dan
a great
Campbell
play.
Flew to that game?
Not Dan Campbell.
Dan Quinn.
Yes. Like, Dan Campbell caught the G5 to Washington.
Would have been great.
Yeah. Where's the kneecap? An interesting situation brewed after the KU and K-State game for somebody here, and we get into somebody that needs to just take a back seat in the situation that they're in. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's a good song, right? Good song by Garth Brooks, one of the all-time classics, right?
Holding you, I've held everything.
Great song. Good.
For a moment.
For a moment, even I was king, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night, we had some dinner with some friends, and then afterwards we had a 50th birthday party to go to. So we get there. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Arrived to this local watering hole, Wallabies, I believe it's called, over on like 89th, 95th, somewhere over there in Lenexa. And they said, come out and join us for karaoke. You're going to start at 9 o'clock. So we get there, you know, a little bit late because we were at dinner. Show up and the KUK State game is on.
Great game.
What an unbelievable football game. I mean,
didn't see it, saw the highlights. But
I saw like the last 5 minutes of the game, right?
And that's all you really needed.
Yeah. That is really all that you needed to see of that game. It's time the KU just shuts down the program and starts over in a decade. I just abandon this thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a mess. us, right? So so we show up to the bar, the game's on, you know, my friend Dan and his wife, they're celebrating their 50th, and we're, you know, Dan's in charge of the get loud button at Arrowhead Stadium. That's his claim to fame. So when it says get loud, Dan's hitting that button. Dan and Lulu, happy 50th, my friends, right? So we get there, and they're like, karaoke night, and this game's taking long, and people are like, oh, God, come on, just end the game, we want to sing, right? Game ends, karaoke begins. Dan gets up on stage and sings Semi-Charmed Life by, why am I blanking right now?
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind, right? And you know how hard that song is to sing, first of all?
Second of all,
how hard that song is to sing karaoke? Like, that is a hell of a song. Knocked it out of the park.
Let's go.
Home run. Bar's fired up. Everybody's ready to go. Next guy gets up there and sings The Dance by Garth Brooks. You want to talk about a wet fart in a bar on a Saturday night. Like,
but did he deliver? Because if you're going to sign up for that song, you got to have
it. Damn good.
Because I love karaoke.
It's hard to say if he delivered. He was okay on a you know, baseball scale of 30 to 80. He was probably about a 45, right?
Okay.
Very mid. It was fine. It wasn't anything great. He didn't, like, knock it out of the park where people were crying and go, oh, my God, that sounded just like Garth. That was wonderful. He was very mid on that. But, like, read the room, pal.
Yeah,
like, everybody wants to have a good time. Right.
Yeah,
get me through this semi-charm kind of life, baby. I want something else.
See, it's not that hard to sing.
To get me through this.
A pact that I'm holding. I'm living.
Right.
It's so fun.
That's how it goes. It's hard, right? Yeah. Big motor, and I bumped again, and I bumped again, and like.
Is this Billy Mays conversation
coming
back?
Right, yeah, right, exactly. It's kind of all flows, right? It's not like everybody's having a good time. And then this guy gets up there, probably in his 60s, at the bar by himself.
Aww.
I felt bad from that standpoint.
I've done that many times.
But you've got to read the room. And understand that people are there to have a good time on a Saturday night. Wait for a little bit to get into that song, right?
So I have a few follow-ups.
Okay.
How do you sign up? Is it classic where you sign up a piece of paper and then hand it to the DJ?
Yeah, one of those type of things.
He can put that towards the back.
But it was at the beginning and there weren't a lot of people.
It doesn't matter. If there's four people, you still put the dance.
I agree, yeah.
My other one is... Who out of you and Jen are the karaoke person?
We did not sing.
But who would sing more, you
Jen,
or her?
No question.
What would her song be?
Probably, I don't know what her song would be. Probably something by Martina McBride. Oh. You know, that's like her favorite
singer. Independence Day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Independence Day would be good. Actually, that's a really good karaoke
song. I'm just glad you didn't say she went up there and sang Like a Prayer just to me.
Oh, no.
Like, Jen, it's not Tuesday.
No. I wish.
The ground, like, when you call my name,
I'll take you there. Yeah, baby, let's go.
All right, check, please. Sir, you've had one beer. That's all I need.
That's all I needed. Because some people were saying, you know, what are you going to sing? I go, well, there's only one song that I would sing if I was going to karaoke.
Yeah.
Brett Veach Town. I mean, that would be the only one. And my buddy Dan's like, you got to get up there and sing Brett Veach Town. You got to get up there and sing Brett Veach Town. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to sing Brett Veach Town. You know, I haven't had enough in me at this point in time to do this. And after the guy sang The Dance, I'm like, God, how do we get this back? And it was very, very difficult to get it back. And, you know, again, go up there, sing what you want, but read the room. Kind of know where you are. Like, the slow songs come in a little bit later on into the dance. Think back to your 7th and 8th grade high school dances and whatnot. When do the slow songs come in? After a while, after the mood was kind of set. Not right off the bat.
I just remember, I don't know. I enjoy karaoke. I'm sure, being in Nashville, you probably went to a lot of karaoke.
Went to a lot where people were trying to be discovered, right?
Yes. I think they sound so damn good. Yeah. They're as mid as the guy who sang the dance.
Yeah. It's like there's a place in Scottsdale, Arizona called the Rusty Spur. Our friend Gene Watson sings there on Saturday nights during spring training.
Watson, yes! There's a Rusty Spur in downtown Lee Summit now.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the same.
I don't know. I don't go.
But you know, you got read the room. Understand, Saturday night, man. We're having a good time. A Tuesday karaoke, fine. You want to sing that or whatever, you know. And he wants to sing a song. I get it. You do you. But again, when you do you, you have an impact on others, and everybody's like, oh, this sucks. All right, time to go.
What is what's Bob Fesco's karaoke song?
I just told you, Brett Veach Town.
I mean, like, realistically.
Probably Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Nice. That's a hard one to sing.
Yeah.
What about
anything
you?
For me is hard to sing. Let's not act like I got the voice of a singer here.
I feel like if you ask Cody Tapp what's your karaoke song, he's like, hang on.
Yeah, let me.
Which page?
Rolodex. Yeah.
Well, what kind of night is it? What's the location? Who's in the crowd?
Isn't I go Mr. Brightside, man.
That's a great
that's
song.
That's up there for me.
Yeah.
That's
the white
up there
guy
for
anthem.
Me.
Yeah.
What about you, Dustin?
I got a few. I used to do We Didn't Start the Fire.
That's nice. A good one.
And I would turn the monitor the other way as an arrogant move.
But everybody thinks like, oh, I know the words to that. It's just like any other song. You know the words to a song, you know the words to a song.
Yeah. And then I stopped singing it because I went and saw Billy Joel live at Kauffman Stadium. He's like, I'm going to sing this next one, even though I hate it. And there's like the introduction started. We didn't start. I was like, oh, he hates it.
Well, I mean, think about how many times he's probably sung that song.
Yeah, and I don't think it was supposed to take off like it did. I think they were just like, hey, do this, which Fall Out Boy does a good rendition.
I would say Fall Out Boy's rendition is really good. Really good.
And then Dancing in the Dark.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I go all stage presence.
Yeah.
Like,
dance like Bruce did in that video?
I have a video where I was in a bar in St. Louis. My buddy's dad had passed away, and his favorite thing to do was karaoke, and he loved to take us out. Shout out to Doug Lehman, RIP. And he would take us all out to karaoke, and he'd be like, just go up there and have fun. And we're like, wow, we're not drunk enough yet. And he's like, you don't need to be. And then you get like that high when you do karaoke.
You do, yeah.
Especially if you nail it. Like, mm-hmm. if you go in there trying to think that you're like professional.
No.
Get out of town.
It definitely is like a runner's high.
And I actually did the whole like rendition. Like, we went down there and there had to have been like some sort of like birthday party, but there was like this group of bros and they were like jamming. And there was
you remember
only,
where you were?
Yeah. And there was only one girl. I don't know what the bar was called, but it was in St. Louis. And there was one girl in their group, fairly attractive. And the hey, baby came up and I pointed to her and I was like, get up here. And she got on the stage. My shirt is basically ripped open from the bros, just like getting rowdy. And then we did the whole Courtney Cox, Bruce Springsteen thing.
Yeah. No
nailed
way.
It. Oh,
that's
dude, nailed
awesome.
It was
were
probably
they
that's
mad?
A legendary.
No,
they
moment.
Loved it. They were like, high five. I don't know if I high fived your boyfriend or not, but I felt like, you know, sorry if she wants to come back to the play. But I'm kidding. That didn't happen.
Right.
That's come on.
You always love going to the singer, right?
Yeah. But it was the closest I've ever felt to Bruce, like to be that person. I was like, this is awesome. And
did
like all my buddies are on
saying
this.
You were the boss.
No, never. Okay. No, I was like, did I nail it? My buddy's like, yeah.
Bigger
like,
boss, right. Tony Danza or Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce. New documentary on Hulu came out. Can't wait to watch
it. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
Hulu.
Yeah. So yeah, that's karaoke 101.
Karaoke 101. Read the room.
Yeah. We Didn't Start the Fire. Dance in the Dark, love those two songs. And then every once in a while, I'll try to step out of my shell, and it's never good.
No, like one time go I tried, with what you know.
One time I tried to sing Broadway by Goo Goo Dolls, thought I was going to nail
Broadway,
it.
Broadway, that's a hard, I mean, I'm, yeah.
It's really not that tough of a song, but then like you start to think about it, you're like, oh, I'm not in my car anymore.
Yeah.
like people can hear me.
Right.
Dude.
Yeah. When you're going to karaoke, you got to go with the song you know. That's why I would go with Brett Veachtown. I don't know anything else.
Steven Spector is texting. He says, Return of the Mac is a classic.
It's a good song. Hard karaoke song, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a
great song. One of the all-time greats.
Also, if you get up and sing Freebird, kiss my ass. That's a 15-minute song.
That's cliche.
Like when it says 13-minute instrumental break, just end the song.
I'm as free as a bird.
And you're air guitaring.
Phil Lesh died over the weekend, too.
Yeah, you know? Grateful Dead, man.
Yeah.
The basis.
84 years old.
Living that lifestyle, dude.
Whew.
Living that lifestyle. That dude smoked a pack of cigs every day for 55 years and did acid and still lived to be 84.
I mean, it's 84 years old.
R.I.P.
Did you see the Empire State Building lit up in tie-dye? That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hughes poured a little out for Phil Lesh the other night. Like, let's go.
I want to go to the Sphere and get all funky and watch Dead and Company. That's what I want to do. But that's
who's touring with them now?
They're still, it's John Mayer's like their other, he plays the role of Jerry.
Right.
And then, what's his face is still alive. Barely. Bob Weir. He's still
how
hanging
old
around
is he
up there? Cause he's like pretty much dumb. Anyways, we dive into the World Series and how great it's been so far for anti-Yankee people, including myself, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and Dusty Likens. That's my name here on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.